From the Bro Radio newsroom, a watchdog has said that former Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, the Wales office and the Ministry of Defence used misleading figures about how much the country would spend on defence. In March, Sir Keir Starmer told MPs that ministers were increasing defence spending by £270 billion. The two other departments later repeated similar claims in June, but the UK Statistics Authority said that it was wrong and the figures it proposed overall amount the government plans to spend between 2025 and 2029. A planned quarry blasting caused a substantial volume of water from old iron mine workings to flood homes in a village, an investigation has found. 15 properties outside of Cardiff were affected and 13 homes had to be evacuated, with roads left blocked when a torrent hit last Thursday afternoon. Investigators have visited the nearby Taftswell quarry and had gone underground at Garth Iron Mine and concluded it was an isolated incident, and the Health and Safety Executive has confirmed that. A striking steel sculpture created for Marie Curie's Year as the official charity partner of the 2026 London Marathon has been given a permanent home outside the charity's hospice in Penarth. The Daffodil Runner, unveiled earlier this year at the Potter's Field in London, now stands at the entrance to the hospice in Cardiff and the Vale in Penarth. The piece was designed by Ammerford-based artist Alan Ross and incorporates 557 steel daffodils, each of which represents one of the people who die each day in the UK without the end-of-life care they need. And three new coastal SAP stations are being installed across the Glamorgan Heritage Coast this month. Installed at Lantwick Major Beach, NC Ice in Donuts, at UWC Atlantic and Ogmore-by-Sea, the sites give residents and visitors a hands-on way to help scientists track how the Vale of Glamorgan shoreline is changing. In sport, Barrington United's second home game of the Cymru Premier fixture has been moved back one day. Whilst the change has been made for broadcasting purposes, the club has also added a family fun day to the event. Gates will open at 10 a.m. with kick-off against Cardiff Met from 12:30 p.m. on the 15th of August.
For more local news for the Vale of Glamorgan,
head to broradio.fm.
Hello. This is Dr. Helen, and this episode of Talking Psychology, I'm focusing on how to make the most of the link between the natural world and your mental health. But before we get started, here's Sting with Fields of Gold.
As the sun goes down among the fields. sun in his jealous sky, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold, when we walked in fields of gold.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to the 8th episode of Talking Psychology, with me, Dr. Helen Jones, a chartered counselling psychologist. This episode is called Natural Healing. So from being out in the beautiful Welsh countryside to coaching a pet, this episode will explore how to make the most of the link between the natural world and our mental health. Research that indicates that connecting with nature benefits our mental and indeed physical health. The biophilia hypothesis suggests that we have an innate tendency to seek connections with nature and other forms of life. And that makes sense, given that humans have existed for what, at least 300,000 years? Whereas the oldest cities are only about 6,000 years old. I mean, globally, it's only been in the last 10 years or so that, according to figures from the UN Population Division, we've become a majority urban species. Before that, we were embedded in nature. You know, now the number of us living in cities is booming, and projections say that by 2050, 70% of us will be urban dwellers. But nevertheless, this long history of nature means that nature is a critical factor in supporting good mental health and preventing distress. And what I mean by nature is the green spaces, so parks, forests, but blue spaces as well, rivers, beaches. But nature stretches inside as well, so indoor plants, documentaries. I mean, for me, the dulcet tones of David Attenborough will always be how I imagine if nature had a voice, I think it would be his. So there's a huge amount of information and research about why connecting to nature matters to our mental health. And what this indicates is that it's vital for our emotional, psychological and physical health. I mean, a really good example of this is that during the COVID pandemic, spending time outdoors was a key coping strategy for many of us. In fact, 45% of people in the UK said that visiting green spaces helped them cope during that time. So what do I mean with nature connectedness? What does that term actually mean? Well, it's around the quality of our relationship with nature. So it's how we notice, how we think about and how we appreciate our surroundings. And that connectedness means us feeling emotionally close to nature. So kind of being present, noticing what's around us, engaging our senses. So that's listening to birds, you know, touching flowers, trees, smelling the flowers. It all helps to build this connection. And that's so important in the busy world that we're in, when our mind is so full of work and responsibilities and all the things that we've got to do in our lives. Taking those moments to be in the here and now and connect with nature is really important. And this is where strategies, things like mindfulness, make a big difference. A really useful strategy for building that connection with your natural environment is actually also a grounding technique. And we often use this to regulate people's systems when they're feeling anxious or panicked. But it's also a really brilliant gateway into a mindful moment, tuning you into the here and now. So it's a really straightforward strategy. You've probably come across this before. I think I've talked about this before, the 5-4-3-2-1. So what we're doing is, first of all, we're thinking of and noticing five things that you can see. So actually consciously looking around you, what can you see? You know, I'm sitting here now in my office and I'm looking out the window and I can see trees, I can see bushes, I can see long grasses, I can see a couple of weeds. I need to get out there and sort those out. But I can see blue sky and clouds. So tuning into what can you actually see and naming those things is thinking about what you can hear. So tuning in again, you know, so going outdoors, you know, can you hear the wind rustling in the trees? Can you hear traffic in the distance or close? It's tuning your senses into that. So four things you can hear. The next one is three things you can touch and touch them. So it's actually reaching out and connecting. It might be reaching out and touching the leaves or touching the grass, but it also might be just tuning into the sensation of your feet on the ground, to the wind that you can feel going through your hair, or, you know, noticing your clothes on you. So again, tuning into the things you're actually touching, tuning those senses in. So the next one is two things that you can smell, or thinking of things that you like the smell of. So if you're outdoors, taking that deep breath in and taking a moment, what can you smell? Can you actually, you know, smell the flowers? Can you smell the surroundings, what's around you? And if you're indoors and there's nothing particularly to externally to ignite those senses, it's thinking of things that you like the smell of. Because generally, if we like the smell of something, it's often because it's connected to a positive memory. So even then, you're bringing back to memory something that's really positive. And the last thing, again, is around your breathing, that slow, deep breath. So by doing that, when you're out and about in nature or just in your garden, it tunes you into the here and now. So five things you can see, four things you can hear, three things you can touch and touch them, two things that you can smell, or think of things you like the smell of, and that slow, final, deep breath. So you're taking in and tuning into your environment. So all of these things can again help us connect and embed ourselves in nature, whether it's a couple of minutes in your garden or out and about. It's just noticing and being in the here and now. You're listening to Bro Radio, and that was Imagine Dragons with On Top of the World. This is Talking Psychology with Dr. Helen, and next we're looking at more ways to connect to nature to improve your mental health.
Bro Radio.
A cup of tea, a friendly chat, a helping hand when it's needed most. That's what Churchfield's Home Care is all about. We provide professional home care, companionship, dementia support, and personal care across the Vale of Glamorgan. And now we're looking for new, caring people to join our growing team. If you're seeking a new, rewarding career, apply today at churchfieldshomecare.co.uk. Churchfields Home Care, because the little things make the biggest difference.
For quality car parts at low prices, head to LMF Motorfactors on Main Street, Bury. Whatever parts you need, brake pads and batteries, to oil and accessories, our experienced team will find what you need. LMF Motorfactors is an independent company that values the business of our local community, and we're determined to keep the Vale on the road for less. LMF Motorfactors. Visit us today on Main Street, Barry. Why go anywhere else?
The crunchiest day out of the year is coming to Fornon Castle, because on Saturday, September the 5th, we're hosting the Great Crisp and Potato Festival. Join us as we celebrate everyone's favourite snack. We'll have blindfold tasting challenges, interactive crisp zones, delicious potato-inspired street food from Farnham's, free bags of crisps, plenty of family fun, and world-class tributes to ABBA, Taylor Swift, Bruno Mars and Serena Carpenter. Book your Great Crisp and Potato Festival tickets now at fornoncastle.com. Parking's free. Walkers welcome.
dig a little bit deeper into what the research tells us about the benefits of connecting with nature. There's lots of research and that indicates that there's a strong relationship between our well-being and the natural world. Those are the people who have a strong nature connection are happier and feel their lives are more worthwhile. They tend to experience lower levels of depression and anxiety, and they're also more likely to engage in pro-environmental behaviour. So they're going to look after nature because of the benefits probably that it brings into their life. 70% of UK adults agree that being close to nature improves their mood. So how long do we need to spend in nature to actually get those benefits? Well, there was a really big study done in the UK that involved nearly 20,000 people. And what that found was those who spent at least 120 minutes in nature every week, so about 2 hours, so being out in greenery, they were significantly more likely to report good health and a higher psychological well-being. Research indicates that there are three main pathways that create that nature connectedness. So the first one is around our senses. So how we engage with nature through sight, sound, smell, touch. So like that 5-4-3-2-1 technique that we just did, using that to have that mindful moment in nature, connecting our senses with the world around us in the here and now. So things like getting your hands dirty, getting out in nature and gardening, you know, growing and nurturing plants. The Royal Horticultural Society found that gardening touches the lives of over 41 million people in the UK. So that's 60% of the UK population are saying that they're gardening at least once a month. One of the other pathways, the second one, is through emotions. So it's the feelings that nature evokes with us when we're out in nature. So when you're out in nature, out in greenery, notice how that makes you feel. When you come back, has that improved your mood? Because noticing the impacts that it has on you means that you're more likely to boost that motivation to repeat that activity or that behaviour. So when you see the value of it, you're more likely to do it again. And again, another part of the emotions is our creativity. So combining nature with creativity. So whether it's art or writing or any different things, it's getting out there and connecting that creativity with the natural world. The third pathway is simply through the beauty of nature. So sitting back, standing back and appreciating how beautiful the world around us. You know, that old saying, taking time to stop and smell the roses, is absolutely right. Taking time to step back, smell the roses, notice the beauty of a tree, notice a bumblebee or a butterfly flying by. Just taking those little moments, tuning in again into the here and now and noticing the beauty of those things in your natural world gives you that boost. And we can bring that beauty indoors. So whether it's some houseplants, but also there's evidence around things like watching documentaries about the natural world, shows about gardening. All of those things, again, it's connecting us with the majesty, with the beauty, with the magnificence of the natural world, and it's connecting us with the benefits that that has for us. Thinking how we can bring that into our everyday. A bunch of flowers to brighten up a room. And there was some research that I read that was saying that white or yellow roses particularly were shown to have the greatest calming effect. Even photographs of green spaces has an impact in terms of how we feel when we look at it. Being out in green spaces also boosts our immune system and reduces our stress. So whether we're going outdoors into nature or we're bringing different aspects of nature indoors to us, we can still reap the benefits. Another thing around this, another pathway, is the meaning. So exploring how nature brings meaning to our lives. We can do that lots of different ways. Again, just spending time in green or blue spaces, getting out, exercising in nature. A really great resource that I found is the Visit the Veil, visitthevale.com. And it's got really good information there on walking trails. So there are 10 Veil trails and they've got information, guided walks. Other things, using technology. I mentioned earlier about apps. On my phone, I was looking which ones that I use and really enjoy it. I've got the Woodland Trust app, which helps identify trees. Again, if you're out with kids, trying to keep them engaged, kind of get them notice that natural world, these apps are really helpful for engaging them. The UK Bird Sounds app is really good. It's got a wealth of information on there on bird sounds. But I tell you what's my absolute obsession at the moment is the Merlin Bird app by Cornell University. And all of these are free, by the way. So the Merlin Bird app, you just press the record button on there and it listens in and it identifies what birds it can hear singing. So it actually tells you what you're hearing out in that environment. It's brilliant and it's completely free. Another pathway is around compassion. So take action that benefits nature. Again, once we start to tuning and notice our natural world, once we start to connect with it and feel the benefits, it also then helps motivate us to look after it. And whether that's doing our recycling, getting involved in conservation, there's lots of different ways that we can do this. The Vale of Glamorgan website has got a really good section on there about volunteering. And there's a number of opportunities to actually get out there and get involved in enhancing nature in your local area. So we've looked at lots of benefits of connecting with nature and how we do this. So next we're going to move on and we're going to look at how having animals in our lives impacts our well-being.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid, oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me, oh, stand by me, oh, stand now, stand by me. Stand by. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a, just as long as you stay, stand by.
Florence and the Machine and Stand By Me. Next, we're looking at how having animals in our lives impacts our well-being.
Bro Radio.
Are you a small business owner or an entrepreneur? TL Systems are specialists in supporting sole traders and small businesses with their IT and telephone needs. We'll supply your internet, phone, office, security and web hosting, and then back it all up so your data is safe. Our rates are very affordable for you as a small business owner. We can supply everything and give you peace of mind with a maintenance contract from as little as £30 per month. TL Systems. Call us for a chat on 01446 747 702. Pop into our shop at the bottom of Halton Road, Barry, or visit tlsystems.co.uk.
If your home is looking tired and in need of renovation, or you're running out of space and could benefit from a loft conversion or extension, call Marshall Development Group and let us get to work. Our high-quality, professional construction services are built on 27 years of industry experience. Marshall Development Group covers the entirety of the Vale and beyond, with all projects backed by our workmanship guarantee. For a free quote, see marshalldevelopmentltd.co.uk.
Are you concerned about a relative, friend, or your own personal well-being? Telecare at the Vale of Glamorgan Council offer a range of devices which use technology to enable residents living within the Vale of Glamorgan to live safely and independently in their own homes. Offering a friendly and professional service with simple and easy-to-use equipment, Telecare provides peace of mind and reassurance at the touch of a button. For more information about our Telecare service or to request an application pack, call 01446 700 111. Telecare from the Vale of Glamorgan Council. Let our pendants give you independence.
The Vale's local station. Bro Radio.
next, we're going to explore whether living with animals can benefit our physical and mental health. Okay, so when looking at research on the impact of our pets, several broad themes emerge. Animals may calm stress responses, they offer companionship, they also prompt movement, they create a daily rhythm and make social interactions easier. And crucially, there's no universal best pet. So a dog may encourage walking, while watching a fish may be calming, and a smaller animal may suit limited space. So the right match depends on a person's goals, health, home, finances, and the ability to provide consistent care. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to explore three ways that our pets can improve our lives through that calmer bodies, healthy routines, and stronger connections. So let's look at these three pathways that positive impact animals have on us. So the first pathway is physiological and emotional regulation. So that's how we calm our mind and body. So we know that some human-animal interactions are associated with lower levels of stress. So particularly the stress hormone cortisol, and they lower our blood pressure and they also calm our mood. So stroking an animal, for example, offers that soothing touch. Watching a fish can slow the pace of our attention, and a familiar animal provides a non-judgmental presence. So there's a mechanism there in terms of our oxytocin levels, so creating that bonding, and that could be part of the explanation. But the simplest interpretation of the range of the research is that animals can interrupt the stress response by bringing our attention into the present and providing a reliable source of comfort. So that interaction may be lowering our cortisol, our blood pressure. That touch and quiet companionship is easing our anxiety by shifting that attention, producing sensory comfort, and also the bond that we have with our pets. Another pathway to benefits us is around our behaviour. So even if our motivation is low, we still need to take the dog out for a walk. So those feeding, grooming, cleaning, exercising schedules, they create anchors in our day. These routines support our exercise, they focus our attention, and there's also evidence about the fact that they give us confidence and a sense of achievement. One really interesting study was looking at the link between caring for fish and reviewing blood glucose levels. So this was teenagers who had type 1 diabetes. And what they found was those teenagers with type 1 diabetes who kept fish then checked their own levels more consistently. So it wasn't the animal having anything to do with the treatment of the diabetes, but it's something about that care routine of the animal meant that it also cued a healthy behaviour in us. So again, back to that exercising. We not be feeling like exercising, but the fact that we have to take the dog for a walk results that we're getting more exercise too. So those practical demands of pet ownership, walking and playing, again, is building physical activity into our day. Feeding and that care routine brings those predictable routines and structure into our day. That responsibility of looking after another living thing supports our motivation and also promotes our own self-care. So all of these things benefit the animal, but they're also benefiting us. The third pathway around why having animals has a positive impact on us is around social interaction. So what the research indicates is the animal themselves, that companionship reduces our loneliness. So for somebody who lives alone, having a pet, that steady companion, can again reduce that loneliness, but it also gives us a reason to get up, to shop, to eat. Not just because we have to look after ourselves, which we might neglect, but the fact that we have another living thing to look after can get us out and doing things for them, but also for ourselves. And pets can also act as a social catalyst between people. So anyone who's ever been out walking a dog know that it can open up conversations. Is getting you out. So you might be going to the pet shop, you might be in a training group, you might be volunteering because you're involved with that kind of animal care. So those animals can act as a bridge towards social interactions. And they may be especially useful when direct conversations feel difficult because they bring the attention around the animal rather than the person. The other wonderful thing about pets is their unconditional, non-verbal interaction can build our confidence. So having another thing that loves us, relies on us, listens to us. I know that coming home and having difficult days, as I've talked about before, means that I've got three dogs. So they probably know more about my days than my husband does, because I can talk to them and they always listen and pay attention. And humans might not always do that in the same way. So that unconditional love, that unconditional attention is really important. There was a really good example of this in terms of how interactions with animals can benefit children. So there's been a huge amount of research on this, but one piece of research that springs to mind was a 12-week program with children with ADHD. And what they were doing was they were reading to a therapy dog, and the control group, so the other group, were reading to kind of dog-like puppets. And what they found was the children that were reading to the real therapy dog showed stronger sharing with other children afterwards. So it had an impact on their behaviour. There was another classroom study, and this was around supervised play with guinea pigs. What that was found was it was associated with lower anxiety and also greater peer engagement among autistic children. So again, this interaction with the animal was having an impact on engagement with other kids. So there's lots of research around this, and my own experience. So my own therapy practice involves the use of alpacas in terms of therapy. And that animal assisted therapy has got a huge wealth of evidence to show it makes a difference, which is why it's now used in hospitals, care homes, prisons, secure psychiatric settings, because having an animal changes the dynamic, it helps people engage, and it brings all the benefits that we've talked about. Now, we need to look at that while these research is really promising, these were targeted interventions. So it's not that just going and buying a pet will automatically produce the same outcomes. I don't want anyone dashing off to buy a pet just based on some of the research we've talked about today. So it has got to be weighing up the benefits versus the cost and the responsibility. You know, looking after an animal is ever more expensive. You've got time constraints, vet bills, insurance, exercise, training, all sorts of things that you need to do. So animals bring in responsibility and pressure and potential stresses as well. There's also the potential impact of things like allergies, animal behaviours. So, you know, certainly if the animal has challenging behaviours, then that can be very stressful. So the animal's needs matter equally. Children have to learn boundaries. Adults have to recognise their own limitations in terms of the load that they're already carrying in their lives, and the animals are going to be in additional loads. So we need to make really responsible decisions around this and kind of ask ourselves these two questions at once. Can the animal support me? But also, can I reliably support the animal? There's lots of things that around pet ownership that are really beneficial. There's some really good advice as well. So if you are considering getting a pet, the PDSA, RSPCA, but also the British Veterinary Association, all of their websites have got really good advice on matching the animal with your lifestyle so that you've got the right pet for your needs. And if right now a pet doesn't fit into your life, then there's lots of other ways that we can interact with animals. So locally, so like things like Cardiff Dogs Home, they've got a befriending scheme where you can volunteer to go along and walk the dogs or help out. Dogs Trust, they also have volunteering opportunities. So check out their website and see if there's any available locally. There's a really great thing called Borrow My Doggy, which I think is a great idea, which matches dog owners with people who would like to be able to take their dog for a walk. It's creating those connections, but also it means that you haven't got the responsibility of dog ownership yourself, but you've got that option to perhaps go and walk somebody else's. And as a dog owner, if you're struggling to meet the needs of your dog, then have a look at that, as it may provide some support that would be helpful for you. But again, outside pet ownership, there are other ways to interact with animals. So there are farm parks, so there's places like Amelia Farm Trust, but also just going out and walking in nature. Like I said, that Merlin app connecting you with the bird song around you. Taking, you know, you can get loads of books and apps that recognize and help you identify butterflies, bees, all sorts of different things, so that you can interact with animals out in nature and notice what's in the world around you. So while there are lots of benefits of pet ownership, that's not the only route to getting the benefits of those interactions with animals. The key is finding what fits with your life and ensuring that that animal can bring you benefits, but also that you can meet its needs as well. Enjoyed this episode. The key message to take away is where you have the opportunity, connect with the natural world, and also to recognize the joy that animals can bring into our lives and ensure that we do the same for them. The next episode of Talking Psychology is called Navigating Change. Whether it's back to school or life changes, we'll look at how we can manage the anxiety that change can bring. But in the meantime, remember, self-care is not selfish. So do take care of yourselves, and I'll be back soon talking more psychology. So take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
Bro Radio.
Memoria Cardiff and Glamorgan invite you to visit their beautiful memorial park on Port Road East. Come and take a look around the peaceful grounds, where they offer both cremation and burial plots, designed to provide a lasting place of remembrance. Meet the friendly team who will be on hand to answer any questions and guide you through the options available. Find out more at cardiffandglamorganmemorial.co.uk or call 01446 724 042.
It's back for 2026. And this year, Barry Town Council's Family Fun Day has a fantasy theme. It's all happening at King Square and Central Park between 11 and 4 on Thursday, August the 27th. We'll have dragons and archery and falconry displays. Add to that, Vikings and Knights, workshops, gaming and market traders, and it's one fantastical family day out for all ages. Oh, and it's completely free. Don't miss our fantasy-themed Family Fun Day on August the 27th. Get details at barrytowncouncil.gov.uk.
For when the washing basket's piling up and when your suit jacket has had enough, the laundry rooms. For eco-friendly, non-chemical cleaning and when you want your best dress gleaming, the laundry rooms. For wash, dry, iron and fold, we'll do whatever we're told. With collection and delivery available, you'll find us very capable. The Laundry Rooms Barry, for all your commercial and domestic cleaning needs. No job too big or small. To find out more, give us a call on 01446 740 730.
On FM,
DAB,
Smart Speaker,
and the Bro Radio app.
This is Bro Radio.